You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinions of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I'm Raymond Pronk, the host of the show. Today, I'm going to cover two topics that I have covered in the past, but I want to connect these. There are two stories today that are dominating the news. The first, and probably getting the most ratings, the most attention, and I think many people are becoming sick of the story, is the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. I don't watch television at home, but in the newsroom, we do have a large television screen that's usually either on CNN or Fox News. And both stations are showing video clips, actualities, if you will, of the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, landing in a nice plane, a big plane, and coming down the ramp. Now, I don't know what airport he landed it in. I'm assuming one close to Ferguson, because that's why he was there. And prior to this, the Attorney General, who's responsible for the FBI, initiated a civil rights investigation as to what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. Now, in case you've been out of town, what happened is a police officer shot and killed a teenager, 18 years old, Michael Brown. Prior to that, and there's video. Michael Brown was in a convenience store and was stealing, shoplifting, robbing, however you want to call it, some cigarettes, cigarillos, short cigars that are typically used by people who smoke marijuana or pot. What they do is they split them open, take out the tobacco, and put the pot in. Now, what it shows is him stealing that, as well as manhandling the store owner clerk, who was quite a bit shorter than him. Michael Brown, I believe the height is 6'3". He's at least 240 pounds. He's a big fellow. He's intimidating. He would intimidate me. And if you're, let's say, 5 foot or 5 foot five or eight, you'd be intimidated by him. Now, I'm giving you this background because this is a local crime. And yes, a white cop shot a black teenager. That's a fact. And it is a fact that just prior to that happening, Michael Brown was robbing and manhandling the store owner clerk. Remember, this is a small business, and you can't have shoplifting, and you got to confront customers if you catch them. Many times you don't catch them. The shoplifting is a misdemeanor. The roughing up is most likely a felony, probably a Class C. And this is just prior to the police officer coming from another call, sees Michael Brown and his friend, whose name escapes me for the moment, walking in the middle of a busy street where there's traffic on either side. They're obstructing traffic. And the police officer pulled up beside him and asked them, please go to the sidewalk, get out of the middle of the road. You're blocking traffic. That's what a police officer should do and what a citizen should do. A responsible citizen, even an 18-year-old citizen, should have obeyed the cop's instructions and gone immediately to the sidewalk. If he had done that, he would be alive today and you never would have heard of Ferguson, Missouri. Now, I don't know all the details of the case. The only ones that really do know are the police department, the chief, as well as the district attorney, that's presenting the information that he has to a grand jury. Usually, a district attorney in a case like this will wait until the investigation is totally complete. And that usually takes weeks, in some cases months, depending on how many witnesses you have. If you have conflicting stories, you obviously need an autopsy, which they have now two, and the attorney general has ordered a third one, as well as 40 FBI agents to investigate this, which is entirely his right. The attorney general can initiate a parallel investigation as to whether anyone's civil rights were violated. I'm not questioning his authority, and I'm not questioning the fact that it's in his purview to do that. What I am questioning is his judgment and jumping to conclusions. There's no history here of this officer harassing blacks. None. This officer has no complaints lodged against him. Matter of fact, prior to this, was given an award or a commendation. Now, what quickly happened is the black community jumped to the conclusion that this was a case of a white cop in cold blood killing a black teenager that was running away from the scene of the crime. That was portrayed, that was the narrative amplified on many television and radio newscasts. And if you listen to just those television and radio newscasts, you might very much jump to that conclusion. I didn't. I said, I don't know what happened. I have no judgment either way. But what happened is information started to leak out. Probably the most important is that video. Because, see, Michael Brown knew he had robbed and assaulted the store clerk. And if that police officer that stopped him initially knew of it, he might be arrested. But at first encounter, the police officer did not know that. Remember, he was coming from another case, a medical emergency that he was assisting on. So all the officer initially did was request firmly that Michael Brown and his friend get out of the middle of the street and walk on the sidewalk. A very lawful order, and it's good advice. And you would think that a teenager properly brought up to respect the law and follow the directions of the police officer would have done that. And the tragedy is, if he had done that, he'd be alive. But the fact that he didn't, he's dead. Now, where does that get complicated? And we should know, probably, if not today, in the near future, the results of the case that was presented to the grand jury. This is speculation on my part. But I think the grand jury is going to no-bill him, which means they're not going to indict him. Why? The evidence points to the fact that Michael Brown attacked, severely attacked, the police officer. And the reason I say that, his eye socket was fractured. His face was swollen. He didn't get that by punching himself in the eye. Someone very big, very strong, punched him in the face. And he got a serious fracture. They call it an orbital socket, was fractured. That's your eye socket. And it's dangerous. It needs attention. It's painful. But what's the point or the conclusion? Once that happened, and there are witnesses that will either confirm or deny it, that it was Michael Brown who punched the police officer or cop and gave him a swollen face and a fracture. Once that happened, that teenager committed another crime, his fourth crime in less than an hour. This time, really almost deadly force on the police officer. At that point, if the police officer felt threatened, the police officer was entirely, according to police procedures, justifying in pulling out his weapon and defending himself. Because if Michael Brown had proceeded to keep beating him, he could have become unconscious and he could have lost his weapon, his pistol, whatever he was carrying. It also could be used on him. So he did what any police officer or human being should do. He defended himself. He defended his life, and he shot Michael Brown, who is now dead. It is a tragedy. But the news media, as well as outside agitators, have fueled this into not only having a lot of protest, peaceful protest, but attracting from all over the country criminal elements, criminals, that in the nighttime, under the cover of nightfall, are attacking, breaking in, and looting stores in Ferguson and the surrounding areas. What are the consequences of that going on? Many of these businesses are small businesses owned by business owners that invest in their business. They need to not only replace windows, glass, and merchandise, but some of them were burned out. And what that means is, in the future, one or two things can happen. Some of the business owners might close and go elsewhere because they know they face higher insurance. But also, because of the higher insurance, what are they going to do? They're going to charge higher prices. So who suffers? The immediate damage is done to the small business owner, But the long-term damage is to the community, because if the business owner shuts his store or business, that's one less business the people of Ferguson can go to buy goods and services. If the business owner stays, what happens? Yes, his property and casualty insurance is going to go up, and as a result, he will raise prices. So again, the community, the citizens, law-abiding citizens of Ferguson pay higher prices, and they suffer. And it's not for a day, a month, it's years. Now, what really aggravates me, besides the media fueling this, is the fact that this looting went on not one night, two nights, three nights, several nights. And I know the police were there, whether it's the Ferguson police or the Missouri, the county police or the state police or the National Guard, it went on. And unfortunately, it wasn't stopped. The people of Ferguson, the law-abiding people of Ferguson, and the business owners were directly hurt. Who? By who? Primarily, not entirely, by primarily outsiders, troublemakers, criminals that were attracted to Ferguson to cause trouble and to loot, to get booze, to get cigarettes, to get clothing, footwear, whatever they could grab and take out of the store, hiding their faces. I kept saying, where's the police? Where are the police? Now, they were arresting people, but it didn't stop these criminals on a rampage of looting store after store after store. That should not be tolerated. Law enforcement should clamp down on that. They need to nip it in the bud. I remember I listened to a lot of talk radio, and someone called in and said, I'm originally from Miami, and we had some rioting like that. I forget when he said it, but it was serious rioting and looting. Now, I couldn't confirm this. I didn't research it, but he said, let me tell you how it was stopped. Announcement was made that we are expanding the morgue facilities because as of now, if you loot, we shoot. That stopped it dead in its tracks. That night, no looting. Because the criminal class finally woke up to the fact that the community and the police were not going to tolerate wholesale violence and disregard of the law. Now it's time for the looting in Missouri to stop. It's time for law enforcement, whoever is in charge, to stop that. There have been many arrests, literally dozens of arrests, as there should be. The problem is the damage is already done. To the business owner that goes out of business and moves on, to the business owner that stays and has to pay more for his property and casualty insurance and in turn will pass those costs to the people of Ferguson. It was the law-abiding people of Ferguson and the surrounding community that were hurt. And yes, the community is predominantly black. Now, I want to point out something and connect it with a prior show. The story not being told, really being ignored, is the violence in the black community. And this could be described as a black community because majority, as I understand it, about two-thirds of the residents of Ferguson are black. They are the victims of what went down in terms of the looting, the burning. And yes, the story shifted somewhat away from the police officer and the teenager to the looting. But it brings up an important point. Who was due to the looting? It was primarily blacks. You've seen the videos. I've seen the videos. I'm not saying there were no whites, but most of the people doing the looting, throwing the Molotov cocktails, were blacks. What they were doing are crimes. They should be arrested. They should be prosecuted. And I hope they're the sentenced to the appropriate time in jail or prison for what they did. Now, here's the sad point. This is going on every day across the United States. It is primarily blacks. When I mean primarily, over 90% of the people doing the crime are blacks. And who are the victims? Other blacks. This is a daily occurrence. If you listen to the newscast on this, you would think all across the United States today, they're white police officers gunning down innocent black teenagers. Michael Brown was not innocent. Michael Brown was committing crime, apparently taking or indulging in pot based on the autopsy, and he attacked a police officer. And because of that, he is now dead. May he rest in peace. But he truly brought it upon himself. And I'm, for one, hoping, given the evidence, and I don't know all the evidence, I only know a smidgen of the evidence, to use a phrase of our President Obama, but the district attorney, as well as the police department, know most, if not all, of the evidence. They don't know all, because normally this would not have gone to the grand jury until the investigation was complete. But because of what's going on in Ferguson, the district attorney decided to go to the grand jury with what he had. Now, I strongly suspect, if not today, in the near term, in a couple of days, it will be announced that the police officer will not be indicted. In other words, what they call no bill. There wasn't a crime here. There was a crime, but the police officer didn't commit it. The police officer defended his life when threatened, and remember, beaten by a rather stocky, over 6'3", 240 pounds plus teenager. That instead of just walking to the sidewalk and then walking home, supposedly to his grandmother, decided because he had an attitude to go and attack the police officer. That's a felony, by the way. And the police officer did what he needed to do. He defended himself as he's trained to do and what he's supposed to do. The police officer here is not the criminal. Now, you need to see the bigger picture. Why is the Attorney General of the United States flying all the way to Washington at taxpayers' expense and ordering 40 agents into the area to get witness statements and ordering a third autopsy for what apparently is fairly close to an open and shut case? It's politics, folks. It's politics. Because there's an election coming up, and this is one way, and I think the wrong way, to get your base to come to your support, that you can see the president and the attorney general care about the blacks, and we must have justice here. We must have a civil rights investigation. Really? I think there's some very important major crimes committed in the United States, most of them black on black, by gangs across the United States in major cities, as well as drug cartels. Go after the criminals. Do not go after the police officers when there's no evidence that I have seen that the police officer did anything wrong other than he defended himself. Now, I'm looking at the clock. I'm not going to have time to connect it to the story that's happening in Iraq and the beheading of Jim Foley, a photojournalist. But I will. Because what's happening over there is criminal behavior. Depends on your point of view again. And I want to give the big picture. What I'm sick of and what the American people are sick of, and I will say this, what white America is sick of is a president and an attorney general that are not minding their business. What they're doing is playing politics with something that the federal government has absolutely no, should have no interest in. Let the local authorities in Missouri, both the police department, the county police, as well as the governor, deal with it. And I'm hoping later today or in the coming days that that grand jury issues a no bill. In other words, they're not going to indict the police officer because he didn't commit a crime. If anything, he was doing what he was paid to do. And what's that? Enforce the law. Yes, it's a tragedy. It is a shame that an 18-year-old lost his life. But if he had a conscience, if he obeyed the law, he would not be dead. He'd be alive. He didn't. He committed at least three crimes in less than an hour. And every one was more serious than the other. And then, partly, I think, because he was on drugs, he crossed the line. He attacked an officer, and an officer defended himself, because he was in fear of his life. And under law in Missouri, the police officer is allowed to use deadly force to defend himself, as he should. And the people of Ferguson should support the police, not jump to conclusions. Because when you jump to conclusions, and I have no way to know what the final outcome is going to be. I don't have all the evidence. The police and the district attorney do, as will the FBI. And I think I'm making a fair judgment here. I think my opinion is there should be a no bill. The police officer was punched in the face by a large man, and his eye socket was fractured. That's all I needed to know why the police officer reacted the way he did. And the fact that the autopsy confirms all the bullet hole entries are in the front of the body. In other words, Michael Brown was not running away and was shot in the back, and that's rather key. Yes, he was shot six times, three in the arm, but in the front from an officer that had just been attacked, severely attacked, and had to go to the hospital with a swollen face and a fracture. You see, the media and certain politicians had a story, and the story was white police officer kills innocent gentle giant because he was tall, the choir boy in the back in cold blood. That didn't happen. And now the evidence is coming out, and that narrative is simply not true. That bubble has been popped. And I'm scratching my head. Why are taxpayer dollars being used to fly the attorney general from D.C. to Ferguson, as well as sending FBI agents, 40 of them, to investigate a local crime that once you get the witness statements and the autopsy, probably result in a no bill. Politics. And that's sad to say because it's your and my tax money. I have never in as long as I've been alive seen Attorney General do this. This is unprecedented. This is federal interference with local and state laws. It's none of the federal government's business. And you don't launch a civil rights investigation until you have grounds that someone's civil rights were violated. And you don't have that at all. You're prejudging the case by even going there. So you play politics with the black community. It's all about elections. It's all about politics. And who suffers? I'll tell you who suffers. The people of Ferguson. And the American people are tired of this. And there will be a backlash in November because I'll tell you what the reaction is. The white voter is sick of this. And he's going to be highly motivated come election day to get off his chair, go to the election booth, and vote out of office any Democrat that supported Barack Obama. So keep it up, Mr. President. Keep it up, Mr. Attorney General. You're going to pay a political price, as you should, because this story should not have been a national news story, and it was. And the race racketeers, whether it's Reverend Ratt, Al Sharpton, or Jesse Jackson, as well as the other criminals, flocked to Ferguson. This story was blown out of all proportions. All proportions. And what you're going to see, and I hope it happens sooner than later, is a no bill. So that's my take on the situation in Ferguson. If there are any other developments, I'm definitely going to update you, but I'm tired of the Ferguson story. I really am, and I think most viewers and most listeners are. And we really should wait to the grand jury to reach its decision. And I don't know how they're going to decide because I have no idea what evidence the district attorney had and how he presented the case. But we'll find out shortly. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.